now that we have to, for the, since 11, we have to stand in line. Wouldn't you like a dollar an hour for every person that stood in line for the last 8 years? And all those TSA employees and all that stuff that they do. See, a little bit of evil is easy. Doing good is hard. So God's job to take a fallen world, fallen people, and make them righteous again is a big job. It's a hard job. So God could have destroyed mankind, but in his love, he chose to reconcile. And reconcile is the word I want to focus on today. I don't know what definition you have for reconcile, but we'll just settle on. It means to settle or resolve. So if I have at odds with somebody, if I reconcile with them, I've settled at the odds that we were against each other. So in his love, he chose to reconcile. And this is a lesson that we as Christians should learn from. In our efforts to be faithful to God, we have often forgotten to follow God in the fact that he loved people. He cared for people. God did not say to Adam and Eve, clean up your act, get free from sin, prove yourselves to be masters of your own problem, then I will take you back. Love does not do that. God could have shown tough love, but God knows we can't meet the standard. We cannot beat sin, not without his help. If we could, right, Jesus wouldn't have to die because we could just clean up our act and be okay. I was going to ask for a show of hands who here has beat sin in their life, but I was afraid somebody might not hear me and actually raise their hand, and then we would all think poorly of them because there's sin in our life. And he couldn't possibly be better than me. What's he thinking? God must grade on a curve. He didn't say, prove to yourself that you're the hero and I will return to loving you. He, knowing our need, loving us, began the process of bringing us back to himself a long time ago. And it is a long process. I'm an old person, but I know I still struggle with some of the sins that beset me as a young person. I can still be very selfish. If that car pulls out in front of me inappropriately, I can wish things upon their heritage or something. I don't know. I'm getting better. I kind of smile now. Just say something softly. Moron. I don't. Well, maybe I do. One guy here said to me, after I made one of those driving comments, he says, yeah, if they're driving faster than me, they're lunatics. And if they're driving slower than me, they're morons. So I don't know if any of you can identify that. It's a challenge to drive right now. So he began the process of bringing us back to himself. Sin doesn't die easy. You know the phrase, die daily? Have you seen that? It's in the Bible. We are to die daily to our sins. Put them to death. That doesn't show comfort and ease. It reveals a struggle. But that struggle was won for us by God. If we accept the payment offered in Christ, understand this, if you accept what Christ did for you, you stand in his righteousness when you stand before God. If you don't accept what he did for you, then you stand in your own righteousness when you stand before God. I don't know about any of you, but I do not want to stand in my own righteousness. It is not sufficient for me to feel comfortable in the presence of God. In fact, I would squirm and stand to the back and say, I hope he doesn't notice me back here. Each of you know this struggle. You've each fought this struggle. Sure, the issues are different, different pains, but it's the same root. The root is, I will have independence from God. God would have me to do this, but I will do this instead. It's in all of us. It was created in us because God loved us, and when he loved us, he gave us freedom. He didn't make us automatons who do exactly everything that we should. He gave us a choice. He gave us a choice, and we still have that choice. Fortunately, God is big on love, he's big on forgiveness, and he's big on reconciliation. This could be a pattern for you, by the way. If you feel the urge to pull away from a spouse, to pull away from a friend, to pull away from a fellow believer, be careful. There are a few reasons to justify this, but very few. Love always moves you closer to a person, not further away. More risky, not less risky. Love reconciles. You and I are rarely so good, so pure of heart, that we can pull back and exclude others and be justified. If God is reconciling us to himself in a time-consuming, active plan, shouldn't this be our attitude toward others? Failure to reconcile is usually a result of pride. But God is not proud. He is God. He doesn't have to be proud. Our pride holds us up above others and said, I didn't do that, so now I can judge you. You are less than me, so I don't have to reconcile to you. We grow bitter. But we can follow God's example and move to reconciliation. God's Spirit will help. You must repent of your own selfish efforts. Seek God's wisdom in his word and act upon his leading. And it will show us how to love. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 13. If you have your Bible, I'm going to follow along. You all know this verse. This chapter. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gifts of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Verse 8, love never fails. And I can't help but thinking after hearing Val teach on this section, she said a better word for that would be never falls. It never collapses. It never dies. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it shall pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we will see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even though I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now, a week or so ago, we talked about, I read the verse that said, a new commandment I give unto you. And he talked about love will be the thing that marks us as Christians. If love marks us as Christians, there's going to have to be reconciliation to go with it. Because no matter how good a speaker I am or I am not, if you don't love me and aren't willing to reconcile when I'm not good enough for you, then we won't have fellowship. We won't have growth with each other. There has to be, between a husband and wife, there has to be reconciliation. Marriage is a continual pain. I said that on purpose. What I mean is you're continually hurting the other person in one way or another. Even if you try not to, you just stumble. And you say something and they go, was that meant to be a compliment? Well, it started out that way, you know, or something. Or you didn't put something. Maybe you guys don't, you guys are not empathizing with me at all here, right? You guys have perfect marriages. You know, you never have to forgive. Reconciliation's not an issue for you. You had that disagreement in your early marriage years, but since then it's just been... But for those of us who still struggle with our flesh and occasionally offend, reconciliation is key. Reconciliation is key to friendship. You guys know that. You root for the wrong team. You say the wrong thing. Now, reconciliation, I'm not saying you're a doormat. You understand what I'm saying? That you have to lay down and just have the other person crush you over and over. That's not reconciliation. Reconciliation is both parties coming together. And if it's done in the Spirit of Christ, then both parties are all in for sacrificing their own way for the betterment of the relationship. But if only one party sacrifices, that's not really reconciliation. That's a different principle. So we move toward reconciliation, and the Spirit helps us if we continue in His Word. Remember when I said what the Jews said? When I pray, I talk to God. When I read the Bible, God talks to me. So that's where I gain my wisdom outside of my own self, is when I choose to spend time reading His Word. If I don't do that, then I have just my own understanding, and that is clearly not sufficient. Love is what God drove God to do the drastic things He did to get us back. If all He had wanted was justice, we would all be dead, right? It's not just justice that He wanted. He wanted reconciliation because He really and truly loves us. There is still evil to do with, but His love is energetic. Now, I don't know if you pay any attention to what I say, because I realize you need a nap sometimes. This is a good time to get it. But there's a good phrase for you, I think. His love is energetic. In any relationship, there has to be some energy behind your love, whether it's a marriage relationship, a friendship, parent to child, child to parent. Children often think it's just parent to child, but you know, there has to be love the other way for that relationship to grow and to bloom. We have the freedom to enjoy everything, but we don't want to lose focus on God's effort of reconciliation on our behalf. So although we would say all things are lawful, not all things are profitable, not all things we do lead to reconciliation. The other day I mentioned that screens are disciplers. Were you here for that when I mentioned that? Screens disciple people. Your screen on your phone, your screen on your TV, your screen on your iPad, they disciple you. You tell me the kid that's on there 8 hours a day isn't being discipled. They're pretty good at it now, too. The other day I was looking at a hike that Val and I hope to go on sometime next summer or sometime. And all of a sudden, the next day, I'm getting little ads. Have you seen this, where you get the little ads? Join us for this hike. We only charge you 895 pounds or something like that, you know. So I didn't say, please send me all the ads. They know how to come after me. Now, this wasn't attacking my moral base, I don't think. The one place was advertising shoes, though, so they were trying to get money from me. But we are discipled by things around us. We are also discipled by culture. I saw somebody that I hadn't seen for a while recently, and just by looking at them, I could tell what culture they had been exposed to, and it wasn't good. Culture's disciple. Screen's disciple. Therefore, if we don't want to give in to the world's discipling us, we have to make decisions adverse to that, 180 degrees to that. I can't let that form me. I can't let that form me. I've got to go a different way than that. Remember the term ecclesia as we're talking about the church, the called out ones? If God calls me out, I have to go. I have to go that direction and not just let my culture take me where it wants to take me. There are many tough issues that we have to face. And reconciliation is challenging. It's not overlooking all offense. There are many tough issues to look at. God did not overlook sin on our behalf. He didn't just look the other way and say, that's fine. He said, I will provide a way to deal with that. Romans 5:8, many of you know that verse. But God demonstrates or shows His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't say, clean up your act, be really good people, and I'll come along and help you to be better people. The condition we were in made no effect on His choices. Whether you were good or bad or in between, making huge wrong choices or just kind of socially okay, He still was acting on our behalf. And the reconciliation that He planned for us did not start at Calvary. It was the culmination of a long effort God made toward us so that we would be no longer captive to sin. The effort is on our behalf, but he is the hero. So let us rejoice in the good of his efforts on our behalf and then show that to the world, because the world is in desperate need of reconciliation. You guys have heard that at Christmas time, suicides go up. That's just an amazing fact to me, because there's so many good things to enjoy, but obviously for not for everybody. For somebody, it's a desperate introspection that is very depressing. The birth of Christ, however, was a physical manifestation of God's coming to our world to deal with the sin of man personally. It was at great cost. The battle was brutal. Satan saw the result and fought to return or retain his control. We see that fight in Christ's birth. We see it when Herod tries to kill the children. We see it all through Christ's life when different groups continually are trying to stone him or killing him. And then we see it at his death when he's put to death on the cross. But when he's done, he says, it is finished. And you know what he means when it's finished? He means the reconciliation of God to man, an eternal relationship, is established. The dominance of sin over humans is finished if we choose to accept Christ's sacrifice for us. Christ's death cancels our sin. His resurrection, by the way, I always struggled with this for a long time. Please don't think I'm an idiot, okay? But when I understood that Christ's death covered my sin, and he said it is finished, what's the big deal with the resurrection? Everybody goes, well, that's the, you know, whatever. I was a little slow on the uptake with the resurrection idea. Because if death is, sin is conquered and it's finished, then what do I need this other thing? And I've kind of settled on this for that, if you've thought about it. The thing is even though his death covered my sin, my mind is slow to accept that. There are many people who died for causes, right? Couldn't he just be another one of those guys that died for a good cause? But I can't think of any other person that died for a good cause that rose again. This kind of separated him from the rest of the crowd, you know, and made my faith much more reasonable and substantial. So the resurrection gave us physical proof by which we can believe in confidence. So at this time of year, celebrate God's efforts of reconciliation. And if you have kids and you want to start to try to celebrate the Christmas story, I would urge you not to just celebrate the manger scene. The manger scene's okay, whatever you think the manger looked like. That's a whole other topic. But That's only such a tiny part. Christ coming to live here on the earth is such be born on the earth is such a tiny part of that reconciliation process. We're talking thousands of years and a couple more since then. And if it, you know, we have, is God really going to come back someday? But see, he promised reconciliation in the book of Genesis, and it was a few thousand years before it really came to physical, visible manifestation that we see in the Gospels. And it's gonna, and he's taken his time in fulfilling before he comes back again. And when he does, it's not gonna be your saying anything at that time. He's gentle now, and he lays back and says, you don't want to believe in me, you don't want to follow me, you can do that. I love you, I'm giving you free choice to be reconciled or not. But when he comes back, and I've shared with you a couple of times, Val says she knows the word that he's going to use when he comes back, because she had four kids and she'd walk into the room and there'd be anarchy. I know, you guys didn't have anarchy with your kids, did you? It was always just perfect. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. We love you. We love Jesus. Yeah, but some other people, like me, struggle a little more. But the word that she said that, because she'd come in and say, enough. Is that like the word that God's going to say when he just, enough. You guys have made a mess of everything you touch, and you're just about to destroy each other completely. Enough. Now it's going to be not my way, but he's going to say that. It's going to be my way, God's way. He left with the idea of a shepherd, a gentle shepherd. The Bible doesn't say he comes back as a gentle shepherd. He comes riding in victory on a white horse. Whether that's visionary or literal, I don't know. But the idea is he will have his say then. And you think people aren't going to be upset? Because I've had my way all this time. I still want my way. Now that book, at that time, God says, I'm going to reconcile all of you, some to justice based on your own merit, some to salvation based on the merit of Jesus Christ. And that's the choice that we face. And that's where we want to take our kids to understand that. We want them to understand the character of God and his long plan on our behalf. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for reconciling us to you. We want to acknowledge you as the hero of our life, the goodness that we can enjoy. Help our eyes to be open to see clearly. Thank you for every good thing you give us on the earth, but help us to think more deeply about the things that are eternal. Thank you for your long suffering, your patience, and your mercy and your grace. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen.